Then, about a year later, a similar thing happened, and I was in a fury. Because I don't grieve very well. And I used to be an athlete of sorts, and I know what to do when one can't do anything else. So I went down to the Y, and I started to do the ridiculous things that people who go to the Y do. And there was a man who shined shoes at the Y, whose name was Buck, who had been in jail and had traveled all over the world, and was in his 60s. And he liked me. We kind of nodded at one another periodically. We didn't talk very much, and I didn't talk to anybody else at the Y. And he had some pictures of some great champions, Joe Louis, Sugar Ray, Bo Jack, Kid Gavilan. And he said something to me that allowed me to finish a poem, which I was struggling over. So I owe the last three lines to this man. In addition, the poem is not structured in the same way as I'd originally intended it. Some of you perhaps know the work of a man named W.E.B. Du Bois. He wrote many books, but the one he's probably most widely known for is a collection of essays called The Souls of Black Folk. And in that, he has an essay called The Passing of the Firstborn. And for some reason, while I was writing this poem, it jumped into my head. And I thought about it very deeply. The other day, about 2 weeks ago, a man called me on the telephone, who I'd never heard from before, about my book, Debridement. And he said, thanks very much for writing that book. I think it's a wonderful book, and I'm just glad you wrote it, and hung the phone up. And he told me that he was from Worcester, Massachusetts, and taught in a place called Clark University. And it just so happens that Du Bois had gotten a letter from Clark University in 1926, very similar to the letter which is cited in this poem. And I was very moved by the fact that poets function in certain frequencies, and there are times when you need to be picked up, and they pick you up unknowingly. And he had picked me up because I'd gotten a terrible review on Debridement about the book was about hate and so on. And it's kind of important that people let you know that they are alert to what you do. It's a kind of collective responsibility. And the only way that you can pay it back is to pass it on. Anyway, this poem is Death Watch. One of the reasons why I'm talking so much is because I have to get over that last poem. It's hard for me to read that poem. Death Watch. Twitching in the cactus hospital gown, a loon on hairpin wings. She tells me how her episiotomy is perfectly sewn and doesn't hurt while she sits in a pile of blood, which once cleaned the placenta my third son should be in. She tells me how early he is and how strong like his father and long like a black-stemmed Easter rose in a white hand. Just under 5 pounds, you lie there, a collapsed balloon doll burst in your 15th hour with the face of your black father, his fingers, his toes, and 8 voodoo adrenaline holes in your pinwheeled hairline chest. You witness your parents sign the autopsy and disposal papers, shrunken to duplicate in black ink on white paper, like the country you were born in, unreal, asleep, silent, almost alive. This is a dedication to our memory of 3 sons, 2 dead, 1 alive, a reminder of a letter to Du Bois from a student at Cornell on behalf of his whole history class. The class is confronted with a question, and no one, not even the professor, is sure of the answer. Will you please tell us whether or not it is true that Negroes are not able to cry? America needs a killing. America needs a killing. Survivors will be human. Let me explain those last 3 lines, because they've been misinterpreted vastly so. In fact, I've gotten a couple of letters about it. A man wrote me who was the chairman of the philosophy department at Fresno State College after I'd given a reading there and said, didn't I know about numbers? Wasn't my mathematics a little better than he thought it was? And didn't I realize that blacks weren't numbered and that they had no National Guard and no police force? And didn't he think that I shouldn't advocate revolution? And I was, of course, amused, as I always am when I get imperceptive letters from people of authority who should know better. And I thought about answering, and then I decided it was probably best if I didn't. I wasn't about to change his mind by some facts. The point is in that poem, the last three lines refer to something which has already happened. And that what is asked for is the humanizing process of the risk of pain and survival and the possibility of annihilation. And that that gives you the kind of ethos whereby you can live your life.